poppin', y'all!
It's Leviosa, not Leviosa.
I could do this all day.
Night at the Movies podcast
with Bailey and Colton.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the next episode of Night at the Movies podcast, a fantasy flick podcast. I'm Colton.
I'm Bailey.
Today we're talking about Euphoria and The King's Man.
The King's Man, not to be confused with King's Men. King's
Man. Yeah, but before we get started, I want to let you guys know that we are actually going to be running a giveaway.
Woohoo!
So Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and Movies Anywhere, the app that lets you bring your favorite digital movies into one place, is celebrating by giving you a chance to win a digital code to redeem their ultimate movie prize pack filled with classic lovey-dovey tearjerkers. To enter to win, go to your favorite place to stream podcasts. Could be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whichever one you like. Take a screenshot showing that you are subscribed to our podcast, Night at the Movies. Then go to Instagram and post that screenshot on your Instagram story, being sure to tag Fancy Flick. And as long as you're following our page, Fancy Flick, and you've posted that screenshot, you're officially in the drawing.
Woohoo! So the digital code can be redeemed on Movies Anywhere only. Registration with Movies Anywhere required. Open to U.S. residents 13 and older. Download the free Movies Anywhere app or visit moviesanywhere.com to redeem your code. We are giving away two codes for the Ultimate V-Day Movie Prize Pack. This prize pack includes The Notebook, P.S. I Love You, Love Actually, and Brokeback Mountain.
So we're super excited about it. All four movies, absolute bangers. They can be yours as long as you share the podcast.
Classics.
Classic V-Day stuff, so... Now keep an eye out on Instagram as well. We'll be talking about it there, but...
I feel like if you like listening to this podcast, this is definitely something that you would want to do. Yeah. Why pass up that opportunity, you know?
Yeah, I mean, four free movies.
For Valentine's Day.
Get
you can
your
watch
lover.
It with your friend.
Oh, I mean, oh. Your friends, but...
Or friends you're... turned lovers.
Yeah, single.
Friends.
If you're trying to make your friend a lover... You gotta go with these four movies. Get it going.
Friends, people in relationship, people who don't like people at all and just want to watch a movie on Valentine's Day.
If you recently broke up with your girlfriend or boyfriend.
Or significant other.
And you're just trying to get in the feels.
Everyone loves a good cry. Can't blame you there.
Yeah. So subscribe to our podcast, give us proof on Instagram, and get yourself a chance to win those four movies.
Cool.
Alrighty. You want to start off with Euphoria?
Yeah. All right. So we just finished up episode 4. Today we're going to be talking about episode 3 and 4. As I was going through the episodes again, there's kind of a lot to cover. So I think that it'll be interesting.
There's a lot, but there's also not a lot.
Yeah. A lot of people have been talking about how there's a less plot in this season
so
far.
Yeah, I think I told Bailey that like as soon as we finished episode 4. Because I noticed it a little bit in episode 3. And then after episode 4, I looked at her and I was like, I don't know if it's just me, but like I feel like they went really deep into making it look visually cool and like cinematically it looks really appealing, but not that much shit has really gone down. It's a lot of like slow motion shots, cool set pieces, but nothing really to forward the story.
I feel like there's some parts that are clearer than others. Like everything going on with Rue seems very confusing. Like we don't exactly know what's going on, I think.
Yeah, not even like confusing, but also like... Like, it's taken a back seat, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then, because we saw a lot of Cal in these two episodes, mm-hmm. And then we saw some of Cassie. People are upset that we haven't seen Kat, but I heard that that has something to do with a feud between her and the director.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you hear?
I don't know what the feud is about. I think it's something about what she's posted online recently. I don't know if there's a difference in opinion on whatever. I don't know what it is, but I know that there's been something. And so people think that it has to do with that, which is kind of crazy because it's literally punishing a character for something that they did.
Yeah, I mean, that's real life shit. That's just kind of like Letitia Wright and fucking, what's her name? The one that plays the Wasp? Angelina, no, Liliana?
I don't know.
Fuck, what's her name?
I'm terrible with real life
but
names.
But they're like... All the production for, like, Black Panther 2 and, like, all this stuff has been slowed down because of their, like, anti-vax type posts on social media.
Oh, really?
It's a real thing. Like, it's their job, you know, so.
Oh, wait, who posted that stuff?
Letitia Wright is, like, a big anti-vaxxer.
Who's that?
She's the one that plays Shuri.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she's, like, open about it. She said some pretty, like, questionable shit. And
dang,
just,
and she was potentially going to be, like, a big character.
I think they're, like, moving forward now, and they've gotten over it, but it's the movie production has been delayed for a really fucking long time because of it.
And that's just hard because then we're all sad, obviously.
Yeah.
Because we don't even get our main Black Panther. Yeah. Moving on from that. But, yeah, that was just something. I don't know what it is, what the potential feud is about, but that was just something that we didn't see a lot of. Also, another thing that I noticed is that Rue didn't narrate episode 4.
Oh, yeah. It was... Who was it? It was Cal. Wait, was it Cal?
They had Jules narrating it towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there was no narration from Rue throughout episode 4.
Interesting.
So, well, we're jumping ahead. So, let's talk about episode 3 first. We see Cal's, basically, his origin, his background.
Yeah, his villain origin story.
Yeah, him and his BFF, Derek. Very obvious that they were vibing with each other in more than just a heterosexual friendship type of way. And then there's the big theory that Marcia got pregnant on purpose to avoid Cal being gay or like going down that road.
Yeah, with Derek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they hooked up?
Yeah.
Like more than just kiss?
Oh, yeah. I was expecting in that scene where Cal wakes up and gets the call, I thought Derek was going to be right next to him, but...
Yeah. I thought that they were cute. Honestly, I was bad. I feel bad for Cal because I feel like he got sucked into the situation that he's in. Granted, that doesn't excuse him sleeping with underage kids, yeah. But I do feel bad that he got torn away from the life that maybe was most natural to him.
Yeah, I mean, I feel... He's kind of a complex character in that, like, he's got all these demons that he's fighting, these personal demons. But, I don't know, some of the shit he does I just can't forgive. He drives drunk all the fucking time.
That's true.
He's threatening high schoolers with guns and shit. I don't know. Fuck Cal.
I can't believe that he didn't kill himself or kill someone else when he was driving drunk.
In that last episode? God.
It's crazy.
Dude was fucking on one.
What do you think Cal would have done if Marcia wasn't pregnant? If he would have woken up that morning and he would have never gotten that call? Do you think anything would have changed?
Oh, 100%. Because that was, like, right before he was, like, going to college, which is a pretty integral time for, like, when you develop your sense of self. No way Cal would have been with Marcia past high school.
Yeah. And is Marcia still the mom, like, that we see today?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, that's what I think. I thought so, because I've never talked about any, like, I just wanted to confirm. Oh, okay, let's talk about Rue and Jules and Elliot and their complex relationship. Let's start off. After watching these two episodes, how do you feel about Elliot?
I like Elliot. I feel like he's just chilling, but he just is so confident in himself and, like, he does what he wants. He's just unintentionally stirring up the pot.
See, that's what I thought, the same thing.
Uh-huh.
I am very much on Euphoria TikTok, and so I get all of the opinions of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the same thing. I like Elliot's character, but people are not happy with him because he seems to be almost, like, manipulating what happens between Rue and Jules. Like, he's brought up to Jules so many times about how, like, she's so sexual and, you know, she probably has a lot of needs and, like, Rue doesn't seem that sexual and, like, oh, Rue faked an orgasm. Like, I don't know if she would lie about that, but, like, you deserve someone, like, that can meet you there.
Yeah.
I mean, none of them, I don't really like Jules that much in these episodes either.
Yeah. I mean, Jules and Elliot just seem like two horned up people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they got desires and they got no self-control.
Yeah.
But the reason I think Elliot's just, like, a chill dude is because you did see, like, a little bit of a consciousness in him in the last episode where Jules was trying to, like, make her move and he, like, stopped her and was like, I gotta tell you something. I don't want to lie to you anymore. Rue has not been sober and I've been doing drugs with her.
Yeah.
Like, there was a small guilt there and a small, like, self-responsibility. And when, like, he was driving, this was fucking bad, but they were driving to steal liquor.
Uh-huh.
And he saw Rue drinking, like, he was like, hey, don't be drinking on that shit, it's bad.
Yeah.
So he obviously is not, like, a terrible person, and I don't think he's
keeping secrets from both of them.
Yeah.
I don't understand how Jules so easily cheats on Rue after she was obsessed with the fact that she thought that Rue was gonna cheat on her with Elliot, or that Rue has a crush on him, or that he wants to sleep with Rue.
I mean, it's just Jules being Jules.
But it's just ridiculous how easily she cheats. And, like, even that one scene where Rue went to the bathroom and she started making out with Elliot. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
It's because you said this last time. Elliot makes Jules feel like she's wanted. Where Rue's just high out of her mind. She can't even feel anything.
Oh, I know. That was just terrible.
Incredibly frustrating.
I know. Well, then, also, during that first, in the third episode, why doesn't Jules want to tell Rue about how many people she's been with? Like, why can she tell Elliot but not Rue?
Probably because Rue's never been with somebody before.
Oh, has she not?
I remember, because, like, Jules is, like, her first love. And
do you think that she's nervous about all of that?
Probably. I mean, it could be pretty off-putting.
Well, Jules, and especially if Jules has so much experience.
She's probably got, like, over 100 people under her belt.
Yeah, so that's that part. We can come back to Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's more in episode 4. Before we get into Cassie, let's talk about Lexi and how she's making this Oklahoma play that's basically her life, but she's redoing it so that it's like different names and everything.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it because I feel like it's her way of being like, wow, everyone around me is literally crazy and like nothing normal is going on. And so this is her like outlet. Like after like her whole life of just being like basically a side character, like she talks about, she's like finally taking a stand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I still don't know. I like it because it's very obvious she's the most normal person out of everybody.
Yeah.
It's just like, why does she hang out with that group? She does not seem like she fits at all.
Are they actually... I'm so confused. Okay, my high school experience was very different from this high school experience. Well, for a ton of reasons.
No one's fucking high school experience was like Euphoria's.
But like, how are all these different people friends? Like, I like it and I appreciate it because it's kind of cute. Like how, you know, they cared about Rue relapsing... Mm-hmm. Even though she said it was just weed, they were all like, what? You know?
Yeah.
But how? I just don't understand. High school girls are not that nice.
They're not.
But anyways, also with Cassie freaking getting up so early and doing so much to her skin, which is not good. If you have one takeaway from this episode, don't do that much to your skin. You're going to freaking break your like moisture barrier.
She's cringing me out. Don't do it.
She's just acting so desperate. She wants validation from Nate so badly.
But yeah, when I saw Cassie walking down the hall and then Maddie pops up on her right and they're wearing the same shit, I was like, fuck, that is so cringy.
It's so cringy. And it's the one time that Nate looks at her and I'm like, girl, obviously you're not number one.
Yeah.
You're not going to beat out Maddie. Like,
she's definitely showing her acting chops in this show, though, this season.
Yeah. She's no, really she's good. Killing it.
Yeah.
But I'm also glad because, you know, she's so sexualized all the time that I think it's good to show more to her character.
Yeah. I mean, she's still super fucking sexualized in this season. But she, I don't know if you saw this, but she came out and said Sam Levinson has never made her do a nude scene that she's been uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. Like, if she's like, oh, I don't want to do this, then they don't include it.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they're not, like, pushing it or anything. So the bathroom scene... How do you feel about her breakdown that wasn't actually real?
What part?
The part where she's like, I have never, ever been happier.
Oh, I thought that was actually happening, and I had to cover my face because I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
I was getting so cringy. She has such a good crying face. It's so real.
Yeah, but she looked ridiculous in that little fit that she was wearing.
I know.
She looks stupid as hell.
Well, I'm glad that she's happy. Like, you know, I can't, like, everyone has their things that make them happy, so I'm glad that there's something, but it's also not. Like, it's not, like, it's for Nate, and it's not for any other reason other than to get Nate's attention.
Yeah, and it's like a daily thing. It must be exhausting.
Another thing that I kind of noticed is that I feel like Maddie is confiding in Cassie a lot more, but I don't know if that's just because we're focusing on this situation, so we're seeing more of their conversations, or if Maddie kind of knows what's up. Because I also noticed in the hot tub scene, whenever she's like, what do you mean we're not together? Whatever, when she was going off on Nate, she kept glancing at Cassie.
It seemed like she knew, right?
Like back and forth.
That's so in character with Maddie to be like... To, like, confide in Cassie, just knowing that Cassie's the one that's, like, causing all the issues.
Yeah.
That way you can, like, that's just such a toxic thing to do.
Because she was, like, pushing it. She, like, in the hot tub scene in the fourth episode, she was, like, and he tells me he loves me, and he wants to start a family with me, and he wants me to have his babies. And it was, like, going, like, she was going in. She's going, and like, she was leaning towards him, but she could have also, she kept glancing at Cassie.
Yeah, plus that was so over the top.
Which I would love. I feel like... I want Maddie to go off on Cassie so badly, but I don't know if it's just for the drama of it all. I don't know. Cassie always talks about how, like, how much Nate and Maddie aren't good together and that, like, she thinks that they should never be together. But I'm like, but then why do you want to be with him?
It's because it's that toxic thing. That toxic trance.
I don't know how Nate ignores Cassie so easily or how they freaking have sex in his parents' household while his parents are just downstairs just listening.
Yeah, that was so... Oh.
I'm like, how's that allowed anywhere?
And what if the mom was like, oh, those college days.
I know.
And I was like, that is disgusting.
I know, I can't. We also see Rue getting the suitcase, which is not a good idea at all.
So stupid. That's going to bite her in the ass so bad.
We saw a preview Did you watch the preview for the next episode?
I did not.
So there's a part in the preview for the next episode where you see someone talking to Lori, but you don't know who's talking to Lori, but she's basically talking about, like, how the drugs make the chemicals in your brain, like, the happy chemicals in your brain, like, slowly deteriorate because your brain will stop making them because you have so much drugs,
right,
kind of thing.
Right.
And then we see this shot that kind of zooms in on a door handle, and it has a lock on it. And so then people are predicting that she's going to, like, give Rue, like, a forced drug. What is that called?
Who's gonna give Rue a forced drug?
Lori, because we see the suitcase in the promo.
Oh shit!
And so people are thinking that they're gonna, like, force Rue, or Lori's gonna force Rue into what is it called? Like, getting off drugs, basically, by locking her in, like, a closet.
Oh, like
a forced. What is that called?
It's not like cleanse. They did it in You.
Yeah.
Detox? No.
Yeah.
Kind of like something like that. Yeah.
A forced, like, detox. So, anyways, I feel like she's not gonna be able to.
I think that's the word.
Yeah. We also see Cal go and visit Fez and Ashtray, which I don't know why he did. Well, I understand why he did it, but, like, that was a stupid reason.
I love how Ashtray was just knocking him.
I know.
Dude's head is so messed up now.
I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Well, and then that doesn't help, because freaking in the fourth episode, he's all messed up and he's drinking.
Is part of it because of that head injury?
That's what I was thinking. Like, maybe, and if he got medication for his head injury and he's drinking, it could be a mix of those two things, too.
Yeah, because he kind of seemed, like, loopy.
Yeah, he seemed loopy. I don't think it was just a drunk thing. Rue's mom kind of sucks because Rue literally walked in with a sus suitcase. And didn't stop her after knowing that her daughter is a drone.
No drug addict. Yeah.
Oh, and then we end episode 3 with Nate going to see Maddie instead of Cassie.
Oh, yeah. With the flowers.
I know. I was like, cheese and rice.
Nate's such a fucking manipulator.
Yeah. So then we go into episode 4. Jules is going down on Rue, and Rue fakes an orgasm because she's so high.
Oh, that was so funny.
I was like, Rue. Like, at first, like, I was like, okay, like, this is fine. But then she kept going, and I'm like, you got me. Yeah. That's unrealistic.
That was all based off porn, 100%.
We already talked about how it's ironic that Jules is hooking up with Elliot. Elliot is just like Rue, because Rue's lying to her and doing drugs, and Elliot was also lying to her and doing drugs.
Yeah, but Elliot seems more aware. Like, Rue gets to the point where she's just a fucking, like, dead body walking around.
Yeah. Well, in Rue's defense, how does Jules not know that Rue is doing drugs? Like, I feel like it's so obvious.
It's so obvious.
She's so, like, out of it and, like, weird.
Well, that's part of, like, the critique. The season is so messy, and there's such an emphasis on, like, visual effects that shit like that doesn't make any sense. Like, it's so obvious that she's on drugs.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. I also don't know. Maybe Jules is, like, nervous about how Rue would react if she brought it up to her. Oh, and then after Nate goes and sees Maddie, they talk about, like, love and stuff like that. And then we switch to a scene where Cassie and Nate are, like, fighting. Which, honestly, I kind of liked, because I feel like we haven't gotten to see Nate talk very much in this season.
Oh, yeah, and he was going off.
I was like, you are scary.
I feel like he's gonna sock her or something.
Well, I was like, oh my god, how are you gonna let anyone talk to you like that? Like, for all the girls out there, no one should ever talk to you like that. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But then Cassie also got, like, kind of scary. Because that's when she was like, you think you've seen crazy? Like, I'm crazier or something like that. And then her whole, okay, bye. And, like, just leaves.
Yeah, but then she gave in so easily.
Yeah.
Literally the next scene, she's just being so sloppy.
Well, and as she's leaving after they fight and she's walking down the stairs, he tells her he loves her. I'm like, what? Again. Bro, I don't understand.
That's that manipulation.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we see the next scene, and Nate gives Maddie a Tiffany necklace, and they're not together. I'm like...
How's Nate affording this shit?
I think it's probably his family. Doesn't have a job.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it has to be the family, but... I totally forgot that Nate had an older brother.
I know.
When that dude walked out, I was like... He just looked like a fucking Walmart version of Nate. I was so confused.
Well, I was like, why... We've never been introduced to this guy. Why is he just coming
out? That's what I'm saying. Did we see him in the first season?
I don't think so.
Oh, we saw Vape Girl in episode 4.
Oh, that's right. The BB or whatever her name is.
I looked her up on Instagram. Her photos are, like, so normal.
What do you mean?
Like, heavy filter. Like, you know, like, shit that we'd post in middle school?
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, 7th grade.
Yeah, it's like that. But the only way you can tell that she's in Euphoria is because it's in her bio.
Really?
Yeah.
Is she verified?
Fuck, I don't know.
Interesting. Well, good to see her. I don't know where she was for a little bit, but...
Vaping away.
Maybe she couldn't be there.
She's blowing fat clouds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're gonna fight. So Maddie, it's Maddie's birthday. Cassie's drinking up a storm, changing into her little spicy swimsuit, dancing alone in the room with the streamers and the balloons.
Making a noose with the strings.
Yeah, I was like, what is happening? Chill.
Dude, her throw up.
Oh. Ew, no, that was so disgusting. Blood. I feel like that was, yeah, I have no idea.
It literally didn't even look like throw up. No, I think what kind of threw me off was it looked like blood and it was all liquidy. And the camera pans away and it comes back and it's like chunky. I'm like, bro, what?
I know. I feel like that was such a low point for her because she threw up in the hot tub. Her mom had to come help her and like basically drag her out of the hot tub and up the stairs. And as she's being dragged up the stairs by her mom with throw up all over her, Nate is walking by to give Maddie a towel. And I'm like, girl, you should just stop trying. It bothers me so much that she's so desperate about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, come on, you're more than that. But it's who her character is. Her character wants to be loved.
She needs validation.
Yeah. Then after this whole debacle, we see everything go down with Cal that we kind of talked about. Don't understand how Cal didn't kill himself on the way there, on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walks into the house and he starts peeing on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's going off.
Was that the stunt dick that we were talking about last
time? I don't know. That's what I was wondering, too. When it first was out, I was like, oh, I wonder.
It looked pretty fucking fake. I'm not going to lie.
It did. Yeah. It was just hanging there. I don't know. I don't know who that
was. It was just hanging out. No, it was just hanging, which is pretty accurate, but it looked like, I don't know, it looked fake.
Yeah. And then he goes off on like a 5-minute monologue about how he's lonely and how many men he's been with.
You know what I'm confused about?
Huh?
Is when he was yelling all that shit where he's like, I'll fuck blah, I'll fuck boys, I'll fuck transsexuals. Like, the wife didn't really have the reaction I thought she'd have.
I feel like she knows. Because then when the son started coming out, she was like, don't do this. Kind of thing.
Right.
I feel like she knows.
Like, I feel like if that was the first time she had known about that, she'd be like, what are you talking about? That's kind of how, like, the older brother was reacting. He was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
But she was just kind of, like, over it. Like, she's been through this.
Well, Nate, like, knows.
Yeah.
Basically. I would love to have an episode where they go more into their, like, marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's, like, survived. Because maybe she has also been, like, maybe it's one of those open marriage things where, like, he can sleep with whoever he wants. And she can sleep with whoever she wants. As long as they're, like, both home at the end of the day. You know, like, I don't know.
Set some limitations.
I don't know how open marriages work.
Damn. You know what I was just thinking about? All the predictions we made in the last pod have been so off.
Really?
Not a single thing has came true.
Like what? What did
we
say?
We said that Rue was going to cheat with Elliot.
Oh, yeah.
We said that Maddie was going to like...
go off on Cassie?
Or you said Maddie... something with the babysitter. We haven't even seen the babysitter again.
Oh, that's right. We thought about like how there was a possible like love interest or sexual thing going on between them. I don't
know. Weird. Nothing. I have expected none of this.
Yeah. Oh, and then as he's leaving, he takes a picture of the family of five.
Yeah, and then dips.
Yeah.
She's like, this is farewell. Peace out.
Well, and so I was wondering too, like, why does Cal hate Nate more than he hates, like, the other brother that's there? And then we also see the family picture of five. So where's the third brother? Because is Nate the youngest in that picture? Or is the youngest the third brother that's no longer there? And then is there a possible, like, people were theorizing that, like, Nate might have harmed the younger brother to the point where he died. Or there was, like, an accident where, like, the younger brother got killed.
Damn.
I have no idea.
I feel like he kind of hates Nate because he reminds him so much of himself.
That's true. I almost, like, hope that he gets, like, but it's so hard because I, like, say this and then I'm like, he's not a good person. Like, I should stop wishing good things for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I did not like the scene where they were playing Truth or Dare and then Elliot and Rue had to make out and then Elliot licked Jewel's stomach. I'm like, why?
Just a bunch of horned up singles.
I was like, this is gross. Can we stop? Also, why did they have to steal the gas station or the random gas station beer when Fez literally owns a gas station?
That's
and
true.
And he's giving Rue drugs.
And the execution was so poor on that fucking robbery.
I know. I was like, this is so... why is Jules running? It's so obvious.
Dude, and the way she was, like, crawling through the thing, like, of course they're gonna fucking see you.
Yeah. I was... and they didn't even drink it.
Yeah. They didn't even drink it. They all got depressed and then they went to bed.
Yeah. I don't know. And then Rue was just so aggressive towards Jules.
Mm-hmm.
Which Jules is just trying to help her. Well, I was a little confused because I was like, why is Jules getting so upset about the alcohol?
I don't know.
Just because, like, it's, like, you can have an alcohol addiction and maybe she's just, like...
because she was like, you
don't
drink.
Don't want to go down that road. I don't know. It's interesting.
High school decisions.
And then Jules goes and showers at Elliot's and I'm like, why? Go home. What do you mean? Like, just go home.
Yeah.
And then she sleeps with him. And then we see the part where... Rue goes home. She takes more drugs. We see the scene where she's like hugging her dad. But then there's the other scene where they're in the church, and then Labyrinth is singing.
Of course, they and love there's that
like
guy.
Yeah, I feel like they're trying. So sorry. Another thing that I saw is Labyrinth is her like meeting Labyrinth, who's like the.
Oh, was that actually him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's lit.
Who's like
that's
the composer cool. of her life? Is this like a like breaking the fourth wall between her and him mm-hmm. because she's dying? Or like, I feel like all these kind of crazy scenes always happen when she's close to dying.
Yeah.
And then it really freaked me out when she was like just like standing in the hallway hugging her dad.
Yeah, it seemed like that was going to be like the breaking point where she's going to start to be like, yo, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah. And then she doesn't narrate. I don't know. I'm really confused. Do you think someone's going to get killed in this season?
I fucking hope so.
But who?
I don't know. I hope it's fucking Cal.
I feel like it's not going to be Cal. I don't think it's going to be Nate either.
It's going to be somebody random. It's going to be like Ethan.
Well, I could see it be... Ethan.
Ethan's Cat's boyfriend.
Oh, that's right. Oh, they're doomed too. They're not going to make it. But then also, like, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be either Maddie. I could see Maddie.
Damn.
I could see Elliot.
Cassie.
Or maybe, I don't think they would kill off Jules, though. I could see Elliot.
Did they kill anybody in the last season?
No. I feel like people just think that someone's going to be killed.
I feel like they need, like, they left the last season on a cliffhanger that Fez almost killed that one dude.
Yeah.
Wait, he did kill that one dude.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Oh, okay. So someone did die last season.
Just not anyone that I really cared about.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if Euphoria was built like that, but also...
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
They're obviously built like that. I mean, fucking Dare's coming at them and shit.
They can. Well, in the ending scene, we just see, like, a bunch of compilations of, like, different shots of, like, Jules. And then Rue, like, says, I love you 3 times. And I'm like, why is it just her voice saying I love you at the end? Oh, wait, maybe it was Jules that was saying I love you.
I don't remember that.
I need to go back. I was watching, I rewatched it today and, like, skipped through it and stuff like that. And the very end, there's, like, someone saying I love you, like, multiple times. And I'm like, for what? Like, why? And then we see all the shots with, like, Cassie and then Kat and Ethan in the car. And then Jules. And then the scene of, like, the rain falling down with the window open. And I'm wondering, is that just, like, a recap of, like, where everyone's at, like, emotionally? Like,
probably.
Kat and Ethan are in a car, but they're surrounded by darkness.
Maybe.
Cassie's in front of a bunch of flowers, but she's, like, sobbing.
This goes back to my point I've been saying this whole time.
Yeah.
So much visual emphasis that you almost get lost in, like, what the fuck's actually happening.
Yeah. So I did hear that the 5th episode is supposed to be the best.
Really?
Yeah, and that's next week.
Damn, okay.
So we'll see.
Little hope.
But that's all I have on that. Any other...
That's pretty much all I got.
Podcast topics, anything like that?
Not for Euphoria.
We'll see.
I'm hoping they fucking figure it out, because if it continues like this for all 8 seasons, or all 8 episodes, I'm gonna be like, wasn't that good? It was cool to look at, and it was entertaining, but, like, it's not as good as the first season.
I feel like I just want answers now. Like, I'm just kind of like, there's been so many things for, like, characters, and I want to know what happens. Like, I want to know what happens with Cassie and Nate and Maddie.
Yeah, but
and
what's frustrating is it's not even, like, I want answers. It's like, I want fucking plot. Like, they've set up, like, four or five things, and they're only going through with, like, 2 that we've seen so far. So it's kind of frustrating.
How many episodes are supposed to be in this season?
I think it's 8. Because I think I saw, like, someone tweet, like, halfway through.
So we've only seen... Okay, yeah. So we still have 4.
Overall, if you had to give this... Or this season a rating so far. 1 through 10.
A rating? Am I comparing it to the first season?
Just in general.
Oh, well, that's hard. I don't know how to do that in general.
I'd probably give it, like, a 6.
I was thinking
And the same. Only reason it's above a 5 is because... I mean, visually, it still looks stunning, so...
Yeah, I feel like around there, because it hasn't, like, wowed me yet. Well, like, I want twists. I want more twists and turns, and I, like... We already knew that Cal had some, like...
Childhood trauma and shit.
Background and stuff like that, and I'm like... I feel like the most entertaining part has been seeing what happens with Cassie and Nate and all that stuff. With Rue, I'm just like, you gotta get your act together, come on. But we'll see. We'll see if anything happens with Lori, and if Lori sends her away or sells her or whatever she threatened.
Yeah.
That's cool. Euphoria.
Euphoria. Let's move on to The King's Man.
Yay.
So, when I was planning this, like, I wanted to kind of be more fluent with it.
Uh-huh.
But holy fuck. This movie was so goddamn confusing. I feel like I have to just say a summary and then we can get into it.
Okay.
Yeah, I got fucking lost. This shit was so confusing. So, plot summary. To start the movie, we're introduced to British aristocrat Orlando, the Duke of Oxford, Emily, who's his wife, and their young son Conrad, They're visiting a concentration camp in South Africa when a sniper attacks, ends up killing Emily in front of Conrad, and that's when she's like, don't let him see war. And obviously, Conrad's going to see war.
Yeah. Why would she say that if he was not going to see war?
So 12 years later, we see Orlando with two of his servants, Shala and Polly, and they're working for Orlando in a secret spy network dedicated to protecting the UK and the British Empire from joining the war. Orlando doesn't want Conrad to join the war because of what Emily had told him, but Conrad's very, very eager to join the effort. We're introduced to the shepherd, who we don't see his face until the end of the film. We can get into that later. He has servants of his own and in his own plot to like pit the Germans, Russians, and British Empire against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Their agents kind of include Rasputin, Garrison Princip, and other people that we saw in the film. Later, Conrad and Orlando save the Archduke from a bomb being thrown by Garrison.
From a boner, yeah.
From what?
It sounds like you're going to say boner.
Oh, yeah, Garrison's fat boner.
No.
Now, Garrison tried to throw a bomb, or trying to shoot Tsar Nicholas of Russia, whose intent was to spark a war, but he was unsuccessful. But then when he was about to commit suicide via cyanide, they had passed him, and he was able to shoot him and finish the job.
Okay.
On the orders of the shepherd, Rasputin poisons Nicholas's young son, Alexei, and agrees to only cure him if Nicholas promises to leave the war. Knowing the Western Front would be vulnerable, Conrad delivers his information to the Kitchener, which is the guy who plays Tywin, Game of Thrones, that guy, and his assistant, Major Morton, who sets sail for Russia. But as they're setting sail for Russia, they get fucking bombed by that submarine.
Mm-hmm.
With the shepherd on there. And this motivates Orlando and his little squad to deal with Rasputin himself at the Christmas party. Conrad has to, like, groom Rasputin, which is pretty funny. That was pretty funny. I like that part.
Uh-huh.
But then Rasputin's like, you're fucking boring. And then he's like, let me talk to your dad. So then Orlando ends up getting groomed by him. Ends in a big battle, big war in that, like,
very intense.
Very intense war. Polly ends up shooting Rasputin. That's the end of that. Eric John, Zemo from Marvel, he is an advisor to Kaiser II, and he sends the Zimmerman telegram hoping to distract Britain, but the U.S. president refuses to join the war without concrete proof. Despite the British intelligence intercepting and decoding the telegram, the president doesn't want that.
Wants
it himself. So fast forward, Conrad's now of age. He's commissioned to the army. Orlando is unhappy with that decision, so he tells tells King Arthur to send him back, but instead Conrad sends Lance Corporal Archie Reed.
My heart.
I know. Conrad disguises Archie, volunteers for a mission into no man's land to retrieve info from a wounded British agent, but upon his return, he's executed at gunpoint because they think that he's a spy.
Stupid.
But it turns out that the proof that he brought back from President Wilson was what he needed to join the war. And then it ends with that big battle where they find the shepherd up in his fucking rooftop goat thing.
Uh-huh.
And then we find out that it's Morton, which was interesting. And then a year later, Orlando purchases a Kingsman Taylor and starts Kingsman as an official spy organization. And then in the mid-credit scene, Zemo is revealed to have taken the Shepherd identity. And then he introduces Vladimir Lenin to his new young killer, Adolf Hitler.
You sound very excited about
it. Yeah, so this movie fucking sucked. I did not like this movie.
It was the plot. I just didn't understand What was the main goal?
Yeah, that's my main issue with this film is, like, it was so confused on what it was trying to focus on or, like, what it was trying to be. Were we trying to focus on the war? Were we trying to focus on Conrad's desire to serve? Were we trying to focus on the creation of Kingsman, which should have been a bigger part of the movie?
Yeah.
But fuck, they just didn't give any of those, like, subplots the attention they deserved, and none of it was compelling enough to be, like, a good story.
It's like they wanted to do so much to help explain, but they did too much and they lost the main point. Because they could have made a movie, like, I get that it's set in an older time than the Kingsman movies that we've seen, mm-hmm. but they could have made a Kingsman-like movie, but just set in an older time, and they just didn't even do that. They chose a completely different vibe.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not mad at, like, that, you know, because I respect a director's, like, ability to try something new.
Uh-huh.
It's just I would have been down for a prequel to Kingsman that was, like, war-based, but it just didn't work. Like, nothing was executed right. It just felt not good. Like, I just remember leaving the theater and being like, that was not it, Chief.
I got bored.
Yeah, and, like, there were so many fucking parts where the dudes were talking, and I was just like, they would go on for, like, a 10-minute rant, and I would stop and be like, yo, what the fuck did this guy just say? Like, their accent's so strong, and they're speaking so fast, and the sound mixing was, like, aight.
Yeah.
So, I would, like, there'd be constant times where I'm looking at Bailey, I'm like, yo, what is happening right now?
I know. And I wanted to enjoy it. I feel like I very easily enjoy movies, but I didn't like this one.
I was actually hyped for this movie.
Same. I was really excited for it because I really liked... Colton and I watched both of the Kingsman movies the same weekend we watched this one.
Yeah.
Well, we watched the second one because Colton hadn't seen it. And right. Then we went and saw the Kingsman and we were like, we would need to redeem...
We were like punching air, leaving the theater. We're like, we got to redeem ourselves. So we went back and watched the first one.
And the first one's the best one. But 100%. Anyways, sorry, not about that one.
But I guess, yeah, another issue with the film is just like, and this is to me, I've actually talked to some people who said that they liked this, but it just didn't feel like a Kingsman movie.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed, like I said, I really enjoyed the vibe of the Kingsman movies, the first two. So I was expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this could be like a war movie, maybe a war spy movie, whatever it was trying to do. But it was not a Kingsman movie to me.
Yeah, like the first movie, Kingsman: The Secret Service, it had this like good blend of just like lighthearted humor. It showed all like the spy stuff that we love. Or, I mean, I loved growing up.
Same.
It showed like it actually had like good solid storytelling, even though it was absolutely ridiculous. The humor was good, but I feel like it's that ridiculousness that makes Kingsman. You know what I mean? Like Samuel L. Jackson having that lisp, or like the way that they explode, it's like into like big colorful clouds. Like that's the shit that made it cool.
Yeah.
And with the solid story, like it was cool. But the sequel, what was that one called?
The Golden Circle.
The Golden Circle. That one, I didn't really like that one. I thought that the ridiculousness that I liked from the first one, it was just so over the top. And then I also felt like some of the action scenes, this is how I felt. The second one felt like, oh, the first one had such good success, we're going to throw a bunch of money at you. And they were just trying to like put this money in the action scenes and make it completely over the top. And like some of the action scenes didn't work. Like the camera was kind of, the way it was like moving was pretty jarring in my opinion. Like I was like getting kind of sick of it. And then this movie just completely lost the Kingsman flair and was completely derailed by like excessive dialogue and story plot and exposition.
I liked the first two Kingsman movies.
Yeah.
I do have to say, rewatching them again, I can see how the first movie is a lot better than the second one, but the second one is so good.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is just not. Or the Kingsman.
Yeah. And it was fucking disappointing, too, because they pushed this shit back like 9 times for COVID.
Oh, really?
It finally comes out and it's an absolute pile of shit.
Well, to be fair, everyone has their own opinions, and I know that other people really liked it.
Yeah.
So it's all what you went into the theater for. We went in to see a Kingsman movie, and we didn't get that. Where other people probably went in and were like, I just want to see a movie.
Yeah.
And couldn't enjoy it easily.
Couldn't enjoy it, yeah. What was your favorite aspect of the film? Or did you just not like it that much?
No, there were parts that I didn't really like anything with Rasputin, because he just kind of grossed me out.
Did you know he's the same actor who played the Lizard in The Amazing Spider-Man?
What?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, I was fucking caught off guard.
I thought that the part with the goats was funny, like at the very end when they were trying to get onto the island, like the ridiculousness that they went with that, where goat was like climbing up the wall. Yeah. I turned to Colton and I was like, can goats actually do that? Because I don't think I've ever actually seen a goat do that.
Yeah, like mountain goats, they'd be standing on walls that are like almost parallel.
How though? What part of their like hooves?
Hooves. Because they're fucking built different, I don't know.
They must have really strong calves.
I don't fucking know, I'm not...
I like that. I don't know. And then the other parts were, like, kind of scared, like, sad. Because then when Conrad died and the dad, like, was like, sad.
Went to, like, depression.
Thing. The ending part with the reveal of the shepherd, I was like, I didn't care about this character enough.
They were building it up to be such a crazy little twist, too. And I was like,
I know, amazing. We didn't see him for the whole movie.
We saw him, like, in 2 scenes.
I know.
And I was like, that was so bad.
What was your favorite part?
My favorite part was... My favorite aspect has to be, like, the action sequences and the choreography of, like, the fight sequences.
Okay.
Because as much as I thought Rasputin was fucking ridiculous, I thought it was kind of cool the way that he was, like, dancing and, like, fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And that part that we see in the trailer where Harlan is like, he like flies up and like cuts the rope or cuts the head off that one guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Using the rope as like a counterweight. I really like that. I thought the action scenes were pretty good.
I liked that guy. What was his name?
His code name is Harlan, but I forgot what his real name is.
That was his like helper person, right?
Yeah. Loyal dude. I think it's Shala.
Oh, yeah. Shala.
He was cool.
I really like him. I really liked Conrad too.
Like, I feel like the Kingsmen have done a good job of choosing a like young kid that I actually want to watch, because all my favorite parts were with Conrad.
Yeah,
honestly, because my favorite part of the film was when he had to go to no man's land with that group that was selected.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like crawling near each other, and then they have to like stop and be like don't make, like, let's not use guns because we don't want to alert the gunmen. That's just like hand to hand.
That shit was so scary.
That was so sick though. The way they like filmed it and like the cinematography of like this, the frames that they were making with like the flares popping up at the end. That was such a good sequence. That scene alone made me wish that this movie was just a war movie.
Yeah.
Because that was really good.
They just didn't go that route.
Worst part, I would say, was the storytelling, the storyline. Too many fucking things happening. Some things just didn't get the emphasis that they needed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Rasputin got, like, he got more screen time than the Shepherd. He got, like, more screen time than all the other servants combined.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I was like, we didn't get to see, like, any of them.
That's
why
do
we focus so much on him? Just because he was creepy?
Yeah, and I guess. And then the other ones, yeah, there was like 10 of them. We only got to see like 4 of them.
Yeah.
One of them was the girl who gave away that they were at that mountaintop because she got absolutely wrecked in like one scene.
Yeah, she was done so easily.
And that was kind of a stretch, you know?
Yeah.
They like grab her scarf and they're like, oh, this is cashmere from only one mountaintop. And I'm like, dog, if the Shepherd's trying to be low-key, why the fuck would you use the cotton from those goats to like...
Yeah.
Stupid.
Oh my God, and the way that you get up to that mountain... It looks terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I would never step into that thing. I would never go to the top of the mountain.
Exactly.
Couldn't be me.
Yeah, that reveal. That reveal was so bad.
Yeah, I just didn't care about that character. I didn't know I was supposed to be caring about that character.
I knew they were, like, making it a big deal because they would never show his face.
Oh, but I mean, like, the guy, like, the actual person.
Oh, yeah. He was such a, like, a side... Not even... I wouldn't even say he's a side character. He was like an extra.
I know. He's an extra with a couple more lines than typical extras have.
It just... Yeah, this movie just doesn't compare to...
No.
The first one. The first one's so good.
I missed Eggsy. I missed the other people that...
Harry. Harry's scene in the church is still, like, I think one of the best action scenes ever to be, like, filmed. The way they just...
You know what?
Transition that one shot, so good.
You know what's wild is I don't think I watched that movie. I don't think I ever saw that scene.
What?
When we watched it together a couple weekends ago, that was the first time I think I've ever seen that scene.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, that was my favorite scene. That still is so good.
It's just so intense.
Did you watch it on like FX or something where they had like cut out
a bunch probably.
Of shit? Yeah.
Honestly, that's probably it. That makes sense.
Because FX always used to do that with, like, really gruesome parts. They just wouldn't even... They would just not even include it.
Well, how do they just, like, forgive that? I mean, I know everyone else was killing people, but I was kind of like, dang, that's, like, really intense.
Yeah.
But I guess the Kingsmen have never... Like, in the Kingsmen movies, too, like, none of them have ever been, like, you know, avoiding violence.
Oh, yeah. I feel like it's one of those... It came out at a time where that type of violence, like, gory violence, wasn't very popular.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like nowadays, mainstream movies are... being less censored, but that one was like one of the first ones that just didn't, so I think that's another reason why people really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
plus the spy thing. I love like spy movies.
Me too.
Having like secret gadgets and there's like the secret organization, it's so sick.
It's like Agent Cody Banks, even though you didn't like those movies, did you?
No, I love Cody Banks.
Oh, just kidding. For some reason I thought you didn't like him.
Cody Banks is my dude.
I loved Cody Banks.
Yeah, it shit makes you just feel like a kid.
Yeah, I love it. It was so
spy
cool.
Spy Kids, it's the same feeling, all three of those. You didn't like Spy Kids?
I don't know if I watched all of them.
Huh? Did you watch the 3D one?
I don't know.
Bruh.
I can't remember.
I would say let's go back and watch it, but nah, I can't.
I feel
they're
like...
They're so bad.
It kind of like... It's like... You know how they'll combine real life people with like animated things?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes that freaks me out.
Yeah, I still remember that one dude who had like multiple faces. Like, I fucking freaked me out.
Or like the thumb...
Or the thumbs?
Things. Those kind of... I don't know. That kind of stuff freaks me out. I can't do it.
That's fair. I understand that, but...
Yeah.
Same concept, though. They're, like, part of a secret spy organization. It's just sick. But that's pretty much it. I don't have too much to say about this movie, honestly. I'm glad I saw it, but I would never watch it again.
Yeah, I'm glad that I saw it because I didn't want to miss the opportunity, but I wouldn't watch it again.
Yeah, I'm glad I saw it because I can say that I saw it, but I'm not happy that I saw it.
Yeah.
Well, let's go into... I have some fan questions / thoughts.
Okay.
So Ryan the Nixon said, I still think The Kingsman is underrated in my opinion. I like how different... Or not The Kingsman. Sorry. The Kingsman.
The Kingsman.
I liked how different it felt compared to the others. It made it stand out for me and it was very cleverly connected. I personally really liked this and loved that it felt completely different to the other Kingsman films. I personally really liked the blend of being a war movie but still keeping the fun action. But great review nonetheless. Yeah, I mean, like I said, some people that I've talked to, they actually really enjoyed this movie.
I think that the war part was cool. I think if they intermixed it more, because it was almost like, no, Conrad's not in the war, Conrad dies, bye.
Yeah, you're right. Like, they didn't, like, interweave it very well.
I wish that it was more like, oh, we get a war scene, and then we go back to dad, and then we get a war scene, and then we go back to dad. Like, if they did more of like that, where it's like, it's happening simultaneously as dad is trying to...
Yeah.
You know, defeat
whoever. They felt like two separate things.
Yeah. If they did a whole movie on Conrad and the war, I think that would have been cool.
And honestly, that would have made, like, the whole need for a Kingsman or, like, the development of the Kingsman organization make more sense.
Yeah.
So I feel like at the end, they kind of just threw it in there because they needed to. But I didn't feel any need for that organization, really. Because guess what? The Kingsman organization that they had going didn't do shit.
No.
Guess who did do shit? Conrad, who went to the war.
Yeah.
So it's like that organization did need to exist. So when they made it at the end, I wasn't like, wow, that was much needed. I was like, wow, that was really forced because it's in this universe.
I agree.
Chase H804 says, Kingsman, the Secret Service is hunted, thumbs up. Yes, sir.
I agree.
And then Michael's Movie Bay says, I think if it had not tried to exist in the Kingsman universe, it would have been a lot better. Yeah.
I agree.
Like, I feel like, yeah, if it didn't try to fit in this narrative, there wouldn't have been as many forced parts.
Yeah. I just had certain expectations since it was a Kingsman movie, and those expectations were not met.
That's pretty much it. You have anything else?
No, that's it. You're still watching Game of Thrones?
Still watching Game of Thrones. I'm almost done with season 6. It's been really good so far. I really want to move on to, like, other shows and, like, content and stuff, but...
I feel like people have been giving Colton so many TV suggestions. I really want Colton to watch a sitcom just to see how he likes it, because I really like sitcoms.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get into sitcoms. It's just not really my thing, but... I get, like, 3 episodes deep, and I'm like, alright, I'm over it.
Yeah, you just have to find a routine, basically. Yeah.
It's hard to, like, dive into other media when I'm... I knew going into this Game of Thrones shenanigans that it was going to be a commitment, so I can't stop now.
No. You have to keep going. Yeah. And you're close now.
No, of course.
What are upcoming movies that we'll be watching?
Upcoming movies?
What's soon? Ooh. When is Batman out?
March.
Okay.
A couple weeks.
That's a little while.
We should watch that on opening night. But yeah, the Batman, we'll be talking about on that on the pod for sure. They've been coming out with a bunch of clips. Like I fucking said, I hate it.
I haven't
watched a single one.
I've been really trying, like I said, I think I've said this before on here, but with Spider-Man, I got too hyped up for it. Mm-hmm. It was a great movie. I'm not saying anything against that, but I was so, like, I could not stand it when it was like the week that it was releasing. Like, I could not think about anything else other than the movie because I wanted to watch it so bad. And so I'm trying not to let myself do that again.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can just be like surprised and enjoy.
Yeah.
Like obviously I'll see some things, but I'm not going to like go out of my way to look for them.
Right. I've been trying to avoid it, but we'll definitely do a pod on the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I want to watch Licorice Pizza.
Same.
We haven't been able to see that because none of the theaters have times that work for us.
I know. Are they not?
It's just not like, it's not like a mainstream movie. Or it's a mainstream movie, but it's not.
I feel like I've seen a lot of people watch it, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of times available.
Yeah. Because it's not going to bring in as much money as, like, a Spider-Man movie.
It's fair.
So theaters won't pay for it. But we'll do that. We'll do Batman. Around Batman, Moon Knight comes out. We'll probably watch those, talk about those.
Mm-hmm.
I think I kind of want to start, like, we've been hearing a lot about Ozark, Succession, bunch of TV shows that we need to hit up, so.
Yeah.
We got some good content coming for future pods.
Also, let us know if you like hearing about TV shows, if you just want us to stick with movies. Mm-hmm. If you do like the TV shows, what TV shows should we review? Because also, like, I can get through a TV show super quickly. And so if we want to do, like, if people want to talk about, like, you know, a sitcom or, like, one of those TV shows,
right,
we could watch, like, a whole season and then do, like, half of a podcast on a season.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
So just let us know. Follow us on our socials. Fancy Flick. Fancy Flick hit 10,000 followers.
Woo!
Let's get it.
Confetti.
Thank you, guys.
There's confetti in the air.
Yeah. Trying to get more traction on other channels of media, but
we want to start doing TikToks. We'll get there.
You
guys can see our faces.
But again, if you guys want to enter our giveaway that we were talking about at the beginning, make sure you go to your favorite streaming podcast place, no matter what it is. Take a screenshot showing that you're subscribed to our pod, Night at the Movies. Then go to Instagram, post that screenshot on your story, tag us, Fancied Flick, follow our page, make sure you are if you aren't, and then you're officially in the drawing. We'll be giving out those two codes on February the 14th, Valentine's Day.
Woo! Happy Love Day.
Happy Love Day. Share with your friends. Make sure they can get in on this. What were the four movies again? P.S. I Love You, The Notebook, Love Actually, Brokeback Mountain.
Classics.
So, yeah. Enter the podcast or drawing.
Shouts out.
Keep an eye out for it on Instagram, too. I'll be posting about the giveaway there. Other than that,
thanks for listening.
Peace out.
Bye, everyone.
Peace.